There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Up on this edition of NFL Live, where will Tom Brady land? We get to the latest on his situation, including where Dana White, of all people, wants him to go. Drew Brees, amongst the other names who have weighed in on Brady's future, but he also addressed how long he might want to play for. We break down the star quarterback's longevity. And while quarterbacks will definitely dominate the news during free agency, there are plenty of other studs ready to be paid who will break the bank this offseason. As the football world remains focused on Tom Brady's next step, we've got our own Patriots on set with us today to discuss his latest public comments. Hello and welcome to NFL Live. I'm Field Yates alongside those two former Patriots, Rob Ninkovich and also Damian Woody, plus our guest analyst for the day, Ryan Leaf. Great to have you and your unique perspective on all things, including the quarterbacks we'll get into. And it's another day, another twist, sort of, in the Tom Brady destination decision. We move from lip reading at a basketball game to actually hearing Brady speak to UFC president Dana White, of course. I mean, who else? White was giving Brady the hard sell to choose Las Vegas in free agency, and here's what Tom Brady had to say.
I know it's been a lot of patience for me, and obviously being where I've been for 20 years, it's been an amazing experience, and I don't know what the future holds right now. I'm just trying to be patient through this process, my first time going through it. And in the meantime, I'm going to spend a lot of time with my family over the next 10, 12 days. And we got a little vacation plan, which I'm looking forward to.
All right. Adam Schefter added this perspective on Twitter. Bill Belichick and Tom Brady have spoken recently, but those talks were not yesterday, meaning Tuesday. And the tone of their discussion was business as usual, per source. Still many questions left to answer. So, Rob, I'll begin with you. From the comments that were made from Tom Brady to Dana White, just speaking generally, what did you make of what he had to say on Instagram Live, one of your favorite places to spend some time?
Well, you know, like he said, like Tom said, he's never been through this process. So this is a learning process for him as well. But look, Dana White probably has some alternative motive as well because he's with the UFC. They're out of Vegas. I think Tom has some partnerships with the UFC as well. But look, when you're going approaching free agency, Tom's going on vacation. He's probably trying to get himself removed from the situation and let his agent do a lot of the speaking for him. Because at this point, what can he do? What can Tom do? He's just going to sit back and see what teams are interested, see what numbers are thrown at him, see what different situations are brought to him. And I'm sure he's kind of enjoying the situation. He's never been a free agent in his whole career. So I take it he's enjoying it a little bit. You know, you got Julian Edelman selling T-shirts. Both, you know, Tom come back T-shirts. I'm sure Tom's getting a little piece of that. So, look, this is uncharted territory for Tom Brady and the Patriots. So it's a little odd. It's weird to see this going down. And, you know, unlike other teams like the Saints and Drew Brees, where they specifically said and put it out there, like, this is our quarterback. Moving forward, we're going to do whatever we can to get him back. And even Drew Brees said that. This is a little different situation. I think, you know, from day one, I thought that he was going to try and explore other options, and I think that's going to happen.
I want to get your perspective, Damian, on negotiating business as usual with Bill Belichick. You've been at that table before, but you know, regardless of where you were prior to Brady's comments about where he thought he would land, did yesterday's, I guess, comments, discussion with Dana White make you feel any different about where you were previously?
No, I mean, I've been one of the guys that's been saying for a while I thought Brady would be leaving, and you know, nothing that happened in that Instagram Live has really changed that. Look, I think when you look at everything that's going on with Tom Brady, I've always said that this decision will be bigger than Tom, Bill, and Mr. Kraft. Is also another family component that's going to factor into this. And Rob, you know, talked about as well the fact that this is the first time Tom Brady is going to be a free agent in 20 years. Okay. This is the first time that other organizations will be able to approach Tom and shower him with that adulation. Listen, every player likes that. Every player has an ego. And when you're playing in that Patriots system, you know, the Patriot way. This is just one way. It's just,
I'm smiling for him.
Right,
I'm smiling
exactly.
for him because I mean, he's never had the love that he's had. You know, all these teams are giving him right now. And once free agency starts, I mean, there's a lot of teams out there that are going to show him some love.
That's right. And I just feel like with Tom saying that he's going on family vacation, and that's going to lead right into free agency, don't think his people haven't had these backroom discussions with other teams. He probably has a pretty good view of the landscape of what's going to happen.
Well, it's hard for us to not decipher the play-by-play of everything that happens, every tweet and Instagram post and you name it, Ryan. But you've been of the mind that Tom Brady is going to stay in New England. If you take a big step back from it all, just speaking generally, why is it that you think he stays with the Patriots?
Well, I certainly don't have the same Patriot way that we have going on there. But I will say this. Bill Belichick and I shared the same floor at the Super Bowl, and there was a time where we would walk from the elevator to our rooms together and have a conversation. So I feel fully aware of where Tom Brady's going right now, okay?
A couple of conversations in the hallway does that for you,
yes,
right?
It does. You know, he knew that we were calling college football games this year. How does he know that stuff?
Bill
how does he
knows
know that
everything.
Spies.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
For me, I just feel like this is his legacy, right? And there is something to be said about wanting to go out on your own. Because what has been the conversation for the last few years when they've been winning Super Bowls? Is it because of Tom or is it because of Bill Belichick? And I listened to Rob before the show today talking about what that would look like. And we could be looking at a situation a year from now where, let's say, Bill goes 12-4 and wins the East again. Tom goes someplace else and it's not as successful and they're 6-10, that clearly will tell us what. And you take a chance, you take a risk when you do something like that. You know what you have there. You know what 20 years has looked like. Take in all the adulation, right? Go out on the visits, like you're a recruit going to college, right? Go out on the visits, see what people are going to throw at you, but ultimately, I think he stays there. It's his best chance to win another Super Bowl.
The other 40-something quarterback that is scheduled to be a free agent, but we know where he's going, is Drew Brees, and he actually weighed in on Brady's situation on WEEI Radio in Boston earlier today.
Well, I can't speak for Tom, but I know for me, being at this stage in my career, I just want to win. Tom has been a guy who's kind of been the model for all of us for a lot of years. I don't think any of this is about money for Tom. I think it's about winning another championship. I also think it's probably about feeling like he's in a situation where he's got all the pieces in place to do that.
How many years do you think you can keep doing this?
I'm not just saying this, but honestly, I'm 1 year at a time. Now listen, if you ask me how long do I think I could do this, I think I could do this to age 45 or
okay.
beyond.
You do?
I'm 41 right now, but there's other factors. It's not just a matter of can you do it. It's what are you sacrificing in order to be able to play this game and give it the time and dedication that it deserves. Because even the off season, there is a lot of time and dedication to this. And then certainly once the season starts, we get just lock ourselves up and go to work. It's a lot of time away from the family. There's a lot of sacrifice there. So I think for me, it's truly 1 year at a time.
I might have gray hair by the time these two guys retire, but look at where they stand historically. Two of, if not the greatest quarterbacks to ever play football. Certainly two of the best we've seen over the past 20 years. Rob, because you played with both of these quarterbacks, you get first chops on which one of these two guys, Tom Brady or Drew Brees, outlast the other, understanding that Tom is just a couple of years older than Drew right now.
Well, I think Drew hit on the family aspect of it, and you said this as well. There's a lot of other factors that go into it when you have kids. And it really affects you. I remember when my girl was born, it really affected my outlook on playing, how long I wanted to play. You know, in 2014, my daughter was born, and I was like, man, maybe I don't need to play until the wheels fall off. You know, I need to save a little bit for the future. And, you know, when these quarterbacks go into the season, they're in the film room. They're getting prepared every week. They're not home a lot. So I think that each could play till they're 45. But they both have families. They both have kids. You know, you look at Drew's Instagram, it's all his sons playing sports and all those different things that you're going to miss out on when you're in a season. So I think Drew sounds like he's more ready to kind of play another season and then he could potentially retire after one season. But Tom seems set on playing as long as he possibly can. You know, he said it years ago, 45 was a goal, right? So when you put a goal out there, I mean, look, I'm 36. I could probably still play, but do I want to? I'm good. I don't want to take on
right
fullbacks.
You're okay.
I'm good right here. I don't want to take fullbacks on. But, you know, Tom is motivated And when you're motivated and you have a goal, you know, it's hard to stop a man.
Down the line, Damian, who do you got? Which one's sticking around longer?
I'm going to have to say Tom. I think that Tom has a singular focus. I think Tom, both of those guys love football. They're passionate about the game of football. I think, you know, speaking with, you know, what Rob was saying, Tom has been adamant about playing until he's 45, period. And I think this is a situation for him where it's like, I want to survey the landscape. What's going to give me the best opportunity to play that long and be able to win another championship or whatever, you know, however many championships come after that? I think with Drew Brees, he could absolutely, in my mind, play that long because he plays in a division, two teams that in a dome, so the weather's not going to be a factor. But as you listen to him, you can see the family aspect. It's like, okay, I don't know how much longer I can really play the game of football and be away from my kids.
Making a 3-for-3 here, do you think Brady outlasts Brees?
You know, it's hard to say. I don't necessarily think that the family aspect for Drew Brees is any more important than what it is for Tom Brady. I mean, you spoke to his decision-making here. I do think statistic-wise, you know, I think Tom would like to be the number one guy when it's all said and done, but what Drew Brees gets to do in that offense, statistically, they're going to be better. He's going to have more touchdowns, more attempts, things like that, than what you do in New England. But the best chance for him to stay and play longer and longer is to stay with the Patriots. I think you go to another place and there's a struggle. People see a decline in play, and that may be significantly smaller than if he were to stay in New England. As for Drew, it may be a year-to-year thing, but he's staying with Sean Payton. If Sean Payton's still there and they're rocking that offense together, I think it continues and continues and continues. This could be a new competition between the two guys who can outlast one another.
20 years. Ridiculous. We'll keep you updated on everything with Brady throughout the show. And they're now just 13 days until the start of free agency, which means there's plenty of time for Brady to be speculated to about 12 other teams and have about 6 other Instagram stories. But another developing story on NFL Live is our own Josina Anderson is reporting that running back Melvin Gordon is expected to test the market, according to a source. Gordon, who held out of the first 3 games of the 2019 season, just completed his 5th year with the Los Angeles Chargers. Can't say it was a stellar year here for Melvin Gordon. Damian, is right now the time for Melvin Gordon to want to be testing the market in free agency?
Well, I always say when it comes to free agency, you want to hit it when you're hot. And that's not the case with Melvin Gordon. I mean, the combination of the holdout, the season that he had, with other running backs, you know, signing those big contracts and the return on those contracts is not looking the best. So I don't think he's going to get the big money that maybe he had hoped for in free agency.
Rob, you tackled a ton of running backs in your career. Will this be the kind of player, Melvin Gordon, based off what you saw last year, that a team should be working hard to make a priority to make the focal point of their offense next year?
Well, it's tough when some teams set the market at the running back position, like the Cowboys, and they pay somebody so much money. And then you have another running back that's going to hit the market. Like, look, I should be getting what he's making. But that's not the case around the league. Some teams value the running back position completely different than other teams. I mean, you look at the Patriots, for example, they have a good group of backs that really they're not paid crazy. But they have a good running back crew who they get the job done. They don't have to overpay anybody. And a running back position, we know that these guys take a beating. And their shelf life is very short. They're not able to stay in their prime very long. So if you do overpay one of these guys, if you do overpay, you could be hurt like L.A. did. You know, they overpaid in that position. And we're seeing Gurley kind of slow down a little bit with the knee. And he hasn't been as explosive. So you have to be cautious as a team, as a GM, to go and pay a running back a ton of money, because we know that the position doesn't last very long and they take a beating. So for a guy to stay in his prime for, you know, 6-7 years, it's pretty rare to do that. So I would say no. And like you said, he's not hitting the market, crushing it right now. He's kind of limping into the market.
Ryan, you live in Los Angeles, where there's a lot of talk right now about Todd Gurley's contract, how that has aged poorly just 2 seasons into the extension. But you also played quarterback and know the value of a running back sitting right beside you in the backfield. If you were a GM, is right now the time to be spending on any running back, Melvin Gordon included?
Well, you can't go out and break the bank. We're going to talk about that a little bit later, you know, on who you go out as a free agent. But you need a solid running back, a guy that can take a lot of pressure off, maybe a young quarterback and things like that. But for Melvin Gordon last year, he blinked first. That's bottom line, right? He held out. He needed to hold out the entire season Otherwise, his worth goes down, and that's what's happened. And now he's going to test the free agent market. And if you're a general manager out there, you've watched what the LA Rams did in the precedent-setting contract with Todd Gurley, like you said, and it hasn't paid the dividends. And they've had to limit what they do offensively in other places. They paid Goff a ton of money, and now they're sitting in limbo. And if you're the Chargers, you feel good about this. You can go find another running back in the draft, start him on an early rookie contract. But if you're another team out there, it's going to be difficult for Melvin Gordon to go to a place and expect the money that he expects if he wants to play for a contender.
It's a copycat league. It's a recency bias league. And Damian Williams was nearly the Super Bowl MVP just about a month ago, undrafted player. So certainly you can find value at the running back spot. The Philadelphia Eagles and left tackle Jason Peters have mutually agreed that Peters will enter free agency, but said they will remain in communication as each side continues to evaluate its options. That's new on NFL Live. No one asked me, but I hope those options include him continuing to play. Wednesday, the Chargers and Panthers completed a trade, swapping Pro Bowl offensive lineman guard Trey Turner's headed to Los Angeles, while the Panthers are acquiring tackle Russell Okung. Of course, the trade cannot be made official until 4 p.m. on March 18th, which is the start of the NFL's new league year. According to ESPN's pass block win rate, using NFL's next-gen stats, the Panthers held their blocks for 2.5 seconds, only 50% of the time. That was the third worst in the NFL last season. Yikes. They allowed 58 sacks, which was tied for the most in the league. Now, while there's been plenty of speculation that the Panthers are pondering a rebuild of sorts this offseason, does a trade for a left tackle in his 30s suggest to you, Ryan, that maybe Carolina believes they're closer to competing than the general football consensus does?
I would think that they want what they need, and that's somebody to protect Cam Newton if he's going to come back and play. Mm. And so a left tackle will do that for them. But for the most part, is this something that they're trying to let everybody know that we're not necessarily too interested in competing that greatly, but Trevor Lawrence is sitting out there a year from now, right? And that's a quarterback opportunity. You got to protect him from that side. It's a little interesting to see where they're going to go with Matt Rhule in this, but they have great players on that team. If so many great players on the team, and you just can't go to somebody like that and say, hey, we want to go in this direction, guys are going to be out there competing every week like they want to win games.
Certainly reuniting with his offensive line coach, Pat Meyer in Carolina, part of the equation for Okung. But Damian, 25, 26 years old, is Trey Turner, five-time Pro Bowler, whether you believe in the merits of a Pro Bowl selection or not. Does this feel like an upgrade for the Panthers, or does this feel like maybe selling low on a pretty good player in Trey Turner?
I think it's selling low. I mean, how many, you know, people underestimate how important a position that is to have the interior of your offensive line locked up. Regardless if it's Cam Newton back there or some other quarterback, to be able to solidify the middle of the offensive line is a tremendous asset. And you trade away one of the best guards in the National Football League who's young, who you might say that is just now entering his prime. So, you know, when I saw this whole thing go down, I just started scratching my head and just trying to think, okay, how is this really benefiting the Carolina Panthers? Because they also, I think they're picking it in the top 10,
yeah,
which would give them opportunity to draft probably one of the top, you know, tackles in coming out in the draft this year. So this was a little bit of a head scratcher for me.
Say the Chargers, if they don't go quarterback at pick six, could certainly benefit with their new left tackle. But Rob, maybe the Panthers are trying to tell us that they are closer. As I was asking Ryan, do you think that if Cam Newton is healthy, Carolina is even equipped to push for a playoff spot this year?
That's a tough sell. That's a tough sell for me. You know, watching Cam last year before he had his injury, I thought that he was struggling down the stretch because of the fact that he's had so many injuries. He's had a couple shoulder surgeries, which as a quarterback who's a mobile quarterback, to have a couple shoulder surgeries and have a foot problem and not be as mobile as he was in the past. Plus, you add up all the damage that he has taken over the years. He's taking a lot of hits now. So he needs to change his game. He cannot be a guy that's scrambling and diving for first downs and diving for touchdowns, which was his game. You know, open it up, Superman, right? But he can't do that now. If he continues to do that, he's going to continue to get beat up, and he's going to feel the effects of that. And going back to the trade, you know, I think the Chargers won this trade. 4 years from now, what's Okung going to be, 35?
Yeah.
Is he going to be playing football? You know, Turner possibly he'll still be playing football. He'll still be in his prime as an offensive lineman. Interior lineman can play, you know, 32, 33. You know, that's still old for a lineman or for a football player. So, you know, I think that trade was kind of silly. You know, I think didn't make sense to me. I wouldn't have done that trade. But looking at Cam, I think that he definitely has to look at his game, evaluate his game. It's going to have to change because of the fact that he has been beat up and he hasn't been able to get to his old form.
You don't see a lot of old running quarterbacks.
That's certainly
you do not. And you have to be accurate and you have to be able to throw the ball down the field. And does Cam Newton have the arm strength and the accuracy to be a pocket quarterback?
One of the many questions we'll ask about Carolina. But remember, patience is on their side. Matt Rhule, their new head coach, has a 7-year contract and a track record of building programs up. Now, of course, that took place at the college level. It's hard to envision life without Tom Brady under center in New England, but should he sign elsewhere? Who will be under center for the Patriots in week one? Well, let's play that game, and let's start with the only guy on this list who actually has a contract with the Patriots. That would be Jared Stidham. Could he be the answer?
Didn't he throw his first pass, interception, pick six, and then they put Tom back in? I think it was versus the Jets.
Yeah, it was.
Right?
Same thing happened to Brett Favre.
Yeah. Look, it's going to be a tall task for any quarterback. I don't care who you are. I don't want to be the next guy up after Tom Brady because it's going to be tough. It's going to be hard to replace him. I want to be the guy after the guy. That might give you a better chance. But, look, he potentially could have the skills. I mean, he looks similar to Garoppolo in his throwing mechanism and the way that he stands in the pocket. He's a similar size. You know, he's a smart guy. So he potentially could be, but I don't think he's going to be the guy to replace Tom.
Teddy Bridgewater's been waiting for a while, Damian. He's ready to be a starter. Is he ready to be the Patriots starter?
Listen, this will be intriguing. I think the one thing you know about Teddy Bridgewater, and it's, to me, the number one aspect of a quarterback's game, he takes care of the football. You know, being smart, being diligent, and taking care of the football. I think he did a really good job of that with the New Orleans Saints, where he started 5 games for them this past year. So, he brings an element that he can move around, maneuver, run. You know, those are aspects that we see in the game today. I don't know if the Patriots would pony up. I feel like Teddy Bridgewater is going to command a big, he's going to command a big market in this free agent market. I don't know if the Patriots will pony up that type of market, money for Teddy Bridgewater.
Let's keep it in the NFC South. And Jameis Winston was the subject of his own 30 for 30 in 2019. But maybe a change of scenery could work?
Well, to their point, this day and age, it's all about taking care of the football, right? And not turning the ball over, all right? Somebody who threw about 30 interceptions in his career, he threw 30 this season, all right? So it's going to be very important that he goes to the right spot. This NFL day is not about turning the ball over like that. It's being accurate. It's being efficient. It's not only just being all out there throwing the football. It's not the Brett Favre days again, right? Or you're throwing Vinny Testaverde days, right? This is about taking care of the football. And offensive coordinators are going to want that if they're going to go after and pay that kind of money for a free agent.
Really interesting player. Still young is Jameis Winston. Rob, if Ryan Tannehill is available this offseason, it's probably because Tom Brady has taken over for him in Tennessee. Could a trade of sorts actually work out in the Patriots' favor?
Look, I don't think so. I don't think that would happen. Ryan Tannehill last year played himself into a level where I don't think that they'd be willing to give up what Tennessee wants for his production. Granted, they had a great running game. They had a good offensive line. Tannehill, he had a great season. You know, I can't take that away from him. But I just see that trade would be, I don't think it would work for either team. Let's just put it that way. Because of the fact that he had such a good season, and he's going to expect to be one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the NFL because of his season that he had last year. And the Patriots, you know the Patriots, they're not willing to go out there and overspend for anybody.
Well, Titans players certainly want him back. Now, no one can convince me that Andy Dalton is not already Joe Burrow's backup, Damian. But should he be a starter again, and could it be in New England? As things currently stand, he's got 1 year left, about $17.5 million due in salary.
Of all the guys, this is the one.
Interesting.
This is the guy right here. I mean, listen, I know we talked about Andy Dalton and what's happening with the Cincinnati Bengals recently, but Andy Dalton has been, you know, he's had some successful years. He's had the Bengals in the postseason, you know, a few times. So you bring him at a reasonable price. With, you know, under the tutelage of Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick, a Bill Belichick coach team, I could absolutely see something like this happening.
Andy Dalton's doing interesting. All right, what's the circle of life or something like that? If Tom Brady goes to San Francisco, that's because Jimmy Garoppolo would then become available. Ryan Leaf, if Jimmy Garoppolo were to return to New England, Would this actually work out?
I mean, I don't know. You look at the stats from a year ago and where Garoppolo was at in his second year, or really his full second year in the system, was really good. He took him to the Super Bowl. Now, if people are talking about the fourth quarter and his inability to get it over the top, you could lay that at the feet of Kyle Shanahan as well. All right? So this is something that I don't know if you trade a Garoppolo for 1 year in Tom Brady. If that's what it's about, it's about instant success, one Super Bowl championship, and then you blow it up again. Maybe John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan can do it. I love Jimmy Garoppolo in San Francisco. And if I were them, I don't let him go for anything.
Listen, I already feel this way, but if Jimmy Garoppolo goes back to New England for like a decade of success, Bill Belichick is the mad scientist of all mad scientists. For the next 2 months, teams will be looking to improve their roster through the draft and free agency. 40% of rosters were made up of homegrown players last year, so a majority come from trades and free agency. This is a very intriguing free agent class. It's the most decorated quarterback class ever, plus the likes of Derrick Henry, Amari Cooper, Jadeveon Clowney, and Chris Harris, amongst others, headlining. As tantalizing as free agency can be, consider that the six highest paid free agents in terms of guaranteed money from last offseason all failed to make the playoffs in 2019. This is the Insider Blueprint, now with Adam Schefter, Lewis Riddick, and Mike Tannenbaum.
All right, we've now entered into what is the most critical part of the NFL offseason for teams looking to remake their rosters. They get the chance to do it in free agency, which begins in March, and they get the chance to do it again in April. Mike, how do you approach this time of the year?
Well, we have two buckets. We have musts and we have needs. A need is you want to be as surgical as possible, and I think this year when you look at the historic depth of the wide receiver class in the draft, I think you're going to lose a lot of money in the middle class. So guys like Robbie Anderson's of the world and the New York Jets, I think his walkaway will be a lot lower because teams are going to say, hey, I could go get a really good player in the second or third round. And Michael Pittman, somebody that we've talked a lot about, Lewis, there'll be a lot of really good receivers. So I think when you put the whole jigsaw puzzle together, I think veteran wide receivers this year are going to be the big losers.
Yeah, for me in free agency, having gone through that numerous times in Washington in ways that weren't very successful, what's interesting, what I come to learn is that, you know, the impact players, the people who score points and the people who are directly responsible for keeping points off the board are the people who you need to target. The guys who are just elite players that you know are going to score touchdowns for you and or put quarterbacks on their back. So really, if you have quarterbacks out there like this year, obviously you're going to be a player and if you need one. If there are elite wide receivers out there, if there are, and you can get one that you believe is going to help your franchise relative to a draft that's going to have historic depth like this, then you go out and get one. If there's pass rushers and corners, you go out there and get them.
But I think we've seen it proven over time and time again that it is very hard for a team in the NFL to build through free agency. Free agency almost seems to be the way to complement your roster and fill out certain wants, maybe some needs. But if you're not building through the draft in this day and age, with economically priced talent that gives you an advantage and allows you to go out and spend in free agency, then your team, I think, is set up to fail.
But there's also another aspect to that, which is you need to have a roster filled before the draft so you have maximum leverage and opportunities in the draft. 2016, we all get to Miami. We have a good, not great left tackle in Brandon Albert. We could go function with Brandon Albert. The number one player on our board was Laremy Tunsil. Laremy Tunsil was a good player, a good person. He had a bump in the road soon before the draft started. All of a sudden, we're sitting there at 13 to get the number one player on our board in Laremy Tunsil. What an unbelievable opportunity. So, Adam, if we did not have a roster filled at all the positions and going into the draft saying we have to go draft a corner or a running back, we couldn't take Tunsil. The fact that we had at least a representative roster heading into that draft allowed us to take advantage of a great opportunity.
Yeah, and I think a lot of this has to do with how long have you been at the place? How long have you had to start building up your team anyway? Because once you are there a few years and if you follow a plan that makes sense, then kind of the pressure is off. Then the draft almost becomes fun. Then it's just kind of like, hey, you know what? We could use one of those. We can use one of those.
Right.
Free agency becomes the same way. Free agency is like, look, the first 48 hours, I don't have to be players in his. I don't have to have players absolutely holding me to the wall going, oh, you do need me, so you are going to pay me top dollar. And when you talk about the draft, I'm a firm believer in what you said here for a couple of different reasons. The kind of like chemistry that is built when you have a younger roster, guys 26, 27 years of age and less, who are still on their rookie contracts. It's funny how those guys kind of look at that team and they're the team that drafted them the same way. It's almost like being recruited coming out of college.
They literally look at the colors that they were drafted on as people who they need to be loyal to, people who they wound up staying extra, doing extra work, making sure they mind, you know, their business off the field. In my experience, sometimes free agents, no matter how good they are, no matter how well you vetted their personal and football character, they become like mercenaries, especially when things start to turn. You got to be very careful and selective. So I absolutely believe that from the economic benefit and from the chemistry benefit, as many draft picks as you can have, the better.
And that's what every team will be going through in the weeks to come. That's your insider blueprint on how to build a team through free agency or through the draft.
All right, so while quarterbacks will definitely dominate the free agency news, there are plenty of other studs ready to get paid. Is there a guy out there that you'd break the bank for? And Ryan, we'll start with you. You know that a quarterback's best friend can be a number one wide receiver.
Yeah, and it's Amari Cooper for me. His ability to transform Dak Prescott when he got there has to say a lot about his character, not only off the field, but on the field as well. And I don't know if the Cowboys can actually match with what some of these teams are going to be able to go and break the bank for a quality wide receiver that's going to make your quarterback better every single day. And also, I think it plays a lot into what the Cowboys decide to do with Dak Prescott when that franchise tag is up here in about a week.
Yeah, Amari Cooper wants Dak to get that franchise tag so we can hit the open market. Nink, your turn now. And yep, we see a lot of defensive players make business decisions when they tackle running backs, including your pick for a guy that deserves to get paid.
Yeah, I'm going with Derrick Henry. And I know earlier in the show I talked about the running back position, and it's tough for these guys to make top dollar. But when you look at his body of work this season, the Tennessee Titans would not be the Tennessee Titans and have made it to where they were at this season without him on that roster. You know, he was able to carry the load of that whole team in the playoffs. You know, the things that he is able to do and bring to the table every single day is it's game changing for that team. And Bill would always tell us this: look, we need to stop this guy, and he's a guy that you have to stop. If we do not stop this guy, we will lose the football game. So that's why I'm breaking the bank for him, because if nobody stops him, guess what? It's going to be a long day, and you're going to lose the football game.
Damian, do me a favor. Educate the people on Joe Tooney, who is about to be stupid rich.
Oh, absolutely. Listen, I'm a big believer in you win games in the trenches, and a guy like Joe Tooney, who has never missed a game during his Patriots career, he's going to solidify the middle of that offensive line. And listen, I've been through a similar experience as Joe Tooney. This is for me, I go back to 2008. The Jets bring in a couple offensive linemen, myself, Alan Faneca, and it just really transformed the team. You know, we go on to go to back-to-back AFC championship games, all because of just solidifying the offensive front and winning it in the trenches. And a guy like Joe Tooney is going to get paid.
Nearly 5,000 snaps played in his first four seasons. Nico, who should be the Bucs' priority, or what should be their priority amongst these three options?
So the retaining Sue for me is pretty tough. You think about Miami, did they get a good return on their investment with Sue? Can a three technique really disrupt that many plays to where you're going to give them $100 million, $20 million a year? I don't think so. So if you invest heavily into the draft and you find a really good diamond in the rough there, doesn't have to be a super high pick, but you find a good quality player that can play on the interior defense, be a good piece there. And look, as a defensive lineman, I can tell you this, you have to have multiple guys. If you just have one guy on the inside, offenses are very smart. Offensive linemen understand how do we take this guy out of the football game, and they're going to double team him. They're going to get after him. So I think that if you build through the draft, that's when you can kind of have that block by block, building process of this is how we want to have a successful football team. You go out there and you overpay a defensive tackle. You go in free agency, you get Chris Jones. It's going to be tough to get the return on your investment that a lot of teams do not see with a three technique. Aaron Donald, he's a freak, but he can go inside, outside. He's more of a defensive end, athlete, all-over type player. I mean, Sue is a tremendous football player, but for me, as a GM, it would be really hard to invest the type of money that he wants for the return that you get out of it.
They found some great value along the defensive line last year with Shaq Barrett, sort of that outside linebacker,
yep,
pass rusher. Damian, finally, the Jaguars asked, cornerback, defensive tackle, or offensive tackle? They probably could have used a couple of positions in there. We could talk about that more later. But which one of these many needs makes the most sense for you at pick 9 for the Jags?
Can we just speak about Yannick and Jock? Like, literally.
Or is yours?
It's like the Exodus in Jacksonville.
It is.
You traded away Jalen Ramsey. You trade away Dante Fowler. You trade away A.J. Bouye. Now you got another
malcontent.
Another malcontent in Jokwe that doesn't want to be there. I mean, literally, look at where the Jacksonville Jaguars were like a couple years ago. They were like on the cusp of a Super Bowl. And now there's a mass exodus of talent. There's a talent drain in Jacksonville. It's just mind-boggling. I want guys that affect the football game. I want rushers. I think they need a big-time playmaker on offense, particularly on the outside. But this talent drain that they got going on, something's got to give. You can't keep giving away all these talented players.
Yeah, National Football League, things change rapidly. The Jaguars have shown that. Let's have some fun and create our own post. So, Ryan, you get the first one.
Right.
Let's see what that social media prowess that you've been speaking of throughout the day is all about. What do you got first?
For me, it's to the Carolina Panthers.
Okay.
Let's put this out to the fan base here. Are you guys willing to mortgage your whole draft or essentially give up all your draft picks for Joe Burrow and Joe Brady together?
Ricky Williams,
this is the Saints
style?
Yeah.
Okay.
I want to see what the fan base would feel like that. You know, if you could put those two back together again and
worked out okay last year.
Yeah, it worked all right. If you could duplicate what that is, I think Joe Burrow would definitely be open to spending his days in Charlotte and learning the same offense that he ran to perfection in Baton Rouge with Joe Brady.
The meeting of the Joes in the Queen City. So, Nick, your chance to now create a poll. And which team's fans are you engaging, and what are you asking them?
I think I'm going to go down to Miami.
Okay.
B-Flow. So I think I'm going to ask the Dolphins fans, are you cool with going after five Patriot free agents?
Five.
The Miami Patriots? Or do you want to start a new culture and start young with the draft and have a new thing come in there?
So, you have five in mind?
Yeah, Kyle Vannoy, Tooney, McCourty.
Brady?
What's that? Brady?
Brady or no?
I don't know if Brady. Brady Changeli? I don't know.
Okay.
Does that work?
They've said they're probably.
Logan Ryan? Logan Ryan, potentially.
They said, yeah. They're also a free agent.
Danny Sheldon, potentially. I think that's out there as well. So if all those guys go down to Miami, it would be like pretty interesting to see that, right? The next year, all those guys in a different uniform playing against the Patriots. Or you got a ton of draft picks. You got a young group of guys there, new culture, new coach, new DC. I don't know. Interesting. Miami fans, and find out.
Tell you what, you should be all in on Brian Flores, what he's doing right now
B-Flow.
In Miami, building something special. Damian, we know you love the Twitter. And you love to have some fun on there.
I do. I do. I love the Twitter.
You may have already created this poll for all we know. What do you
Maybe.
Got?
You never know. But I think, listen, my poll goes out to Green Bay Packers fans. We all know that Aaron Rodgers is getting older. He's not a spring chicken anymore. Do you go out and you draft the receiver, or do you sign one in free agency? And when you look at the Packers, their offense from last year, they had Devontae Adams, who's a dynamic receiver. But Aaron Rodgers need more help, particularly on the outside. How about a Robbie Anderson? How about Robbie Anderson to complement Devontae Adams as a guy that can take the top off of a defense and give Aaron Rodgers two legitimate threats on the outside? Let's see what Aaron Rodgers could do with a pairing like that on offense.
Damian, unfortunately, you might have to block our friend and colleague Jeremy Fowler on Twitter, because moments ago he tweeted the following in regards to Robbie Anderson. Jets are making efforts to re-sign the aforementioned Robbie Anderson. According to a source, it won't be easy. He's one of the top wideouts on the market, but I am told it's not yet over between him and the Jets. Aaron Rodgers sheds a tear from afar.
Jeremy, get out of my Twitter feed!
There you go. The CBA has gone out for a vote. That is the proposed CBA, and some notable players taking to Twitter today to react to said proposed CBA. Todd Gurley says vote no, while his teammate Aaron Donald took it one step further and stated vote hell no. And finally, his Vikings wide receiver Stephon Diggs continued the trend, saying vote no. All right, so the CBA, it's all players are receiving it. These are just the star players we've heard from. Guys, what do you think about what you're seeing so far today on Twitter? What you know about this proposed CBA, Damian?
Well, I think what you're seeing is a lot of highly visible guys are saying vote no, but we all know that this is a collective body of you know, most of the guys that make up the NFL are guys who are kind of middle to lower tier. Those are the guys who are going to make the decision ultimately.
Are these even the most important voices we're hearing from right now, Ryan?
Well, they seem like the most important, but we're talking about players from 22 to 55 on the roster. The ones that, if you're going to make an actual dent in the pocketbooks of these owners, you're going to have to strike for a year, year and a half to 2 years. And that is the window for some of these players to play. And they are not going to bypass that chance to play in the NFL and make $500,000. They're just not going to do it. The majority is going to vote yes. The high-profile players are going to vote no.
Yeah, Certainly feels like this one's going to end up with the yes. Rob, you agree on that one?
Well, look, they want to add more games to the season. They talk about health of the players, future of the game, all those things that you see now. It's contradicting. So you add another football game, it's not helping the players out. It's just add more money to the owners' pockets.
Voting goes until next Thursday at 11:59 Eastern time. Very interesting week ahead. All right, Tom Brady took to Twitter to respond to Julian Edelman, who says, vote for the GOAT. Tom Brady responds, how much do we make on our Julian Edelman merchandise? I assume this all evens out, quoting or tweeting at TB12 Sports. Nico, this is your beat right here. We're going to make these two tweets from two best pals.
Well, they got a couple weeks here to figure out if there will be a lot of donations going on with the T-shirts and cups, because we'll find out in 2 weeks if Tom's going to stick around or if he's somewhere else. It'll be interesting, right?
Yeah, sure. Well,
nobody knows. Nobody knows.
You think?
Make a few bucks on it.
But here's, you think Julian Edelman's efforts mean anything to Tom Brady? Does it put any pressure on him or not even part of his mindset at all?
No, listen, I think Tom is his own man, but hey, this is pretty impressive. This is pretty impressive about Julian.
I wonder if he gets a kickback now. Does Tom get a kickback?
That's what he's trying to figure out.
No,
right?
So
like, this has got a.
I would think.
And when you got buddies on your team, right, you got guys that want to advocate for you. I mean, that's got to feel good, right? It's not like people saying, hey, you know, I hope we don't sign Tom again.
Well, who benefits from this the most if Tom sticks around? A slot receiver?
Right. Edelman is a receiver. Edelman, the businessman.
Yes,
that's
right.
No question. Hey, the good news is the decision is coming up relatively soon. A big thanks to our two Patriots, Rob and Damian, and also Ryan Leaf. Great job hanging out with us today.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. You're a regular.
Yep.
NFL Live every day,